fourth Sunday in Advent, a few days before Christmas. We are still in this spirit of longing for the child Jesus and for all the blessings that he gives to us in our life, our personal life, our moral life, our family life, the life of society. We are expecting a lot from Jesus. The Jews expected a lot then, and we are supposed to expect a lot from Jesus, praying for, and a lot of it depends on our preparation, our expectations, what we want, what we expect to receive from Jesus. Very often we get what we expect from God. We get what we expect from God. St. John of the Cross and St. Therese of the Child Jesus, who are big on that. You get what you expect from Jesus. So if you expect a lot, we'll get a lot. So we expect a lot from our Lord now in this Advent season leading up to Christmas. We will get a lot. And we need a lot. We all need a lot in our own personal life and those around us. We know the world needs a lot. So we ask for a lot for ourselves and for others. And, it just kind of dawned on me, we look at Christmas, the whole Christmas atmosphere, and especially here in America with just the ability to really ramp up the commercialism, but also the glitter and the Christmas music and decorations. And I don't know how, I'm sure the light, Christmas lights in certain people's houses are getting more and more elaborate and fantastic, and things that you can do with modern technology. And so imagine all of that and all the things with all the parties we can throw. And I guess the economy is doing really well. And so you can spend a lot of money in doing things and really just ramp up the worldly glitter and fantastic things you can think about. Contrast that with the cave in Bethlehem. Contrast that with the reality of it all, of what Christmas really means, the reality. Jesus comes to the cave in absolute poverty. Do you think there was any of this fanfare? Do you think there was any of that in the cave of Bethlehem? There was absolutely none of that at all. It was totally barren and poverty, extreme poverty. Jesus comes in the cold and the bitter rejection of not even a place to warm place to stay, with poor parents and homeless, and they're traveling in December, mid-December, 25th of December, there they are. It is cold in Jerusalem, not much different than it is here. And here he is born in this kind of cold. And that was a deliberate intention on the part of Jesus to be born into this. He's spending 9 months in captivity in the mother's womb in that kind of confinement, which isn't pretty when you're fully aware of everything. As a man, he would have been, even he's in a child of body, God that he is. And then he's born into the cold, and that's what he wanted. And there's nothing around him. There's no fanfare, there's no lights, there's no Christmas lights and music and all of that. They're all alone. There's not even a fire, probably. There's not even a fire in the cave. So this is what reality is, So we, let's not get deceived by the commercialism of the world and the fanfare and everything. We have to come down to real reality. That's what it is. We can try to make things exciting and fantastic, but then the next day, we're back to reality. We're back to what is real. And God is real. Jesus, in the crib, in the cold, in the dampness and poverty, he is reality itself. That's really reality. And it doesn't get much better than that, during our life. We can sit in our homes, but there's all kinds of difficulties we all have to face. That's reality, and it's supposed to be that way. You know, even Jesus, throughout his life, he could have performed the most fantastic miracles. He could have had music around him and glowing lights all around him as he walked, but he still walked in poverty, and he said absolutely nothing. Nobody knew anything about him for 30 years. So, you know, he doesn't get any better. Doesn't get much better than the cave in Bethlehem. And remember that this is reality. This is what is really real, not what you see on TV. And, you know, it kind of makes you think of, I just heard a song yesterday, this is Michael Jackson's song when he was a kid, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Santa Claus is coming to town. Is that what we're all waiting for? Santa Claus is coming to town. Is, you know, is it him or is Jesus coming to town? Is Santa Claus coming to town or whatever? You know, he knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. Santa Claus knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. You know, why don't we... You know, God knows if you've been bad or good. The baby Jesus in Bethlehem knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for his sake. So be good for his sake. That's what Christmas is really about. That's the reality. The reality comes down, what is real? So all the glitter and all the beautiful music and all the beautiful sights of Christmas that we see in this society, which has some good to it, I guess. But let's always come back to the reality of the, you know, the cave in Bethlehem, the poverty and the suffering that Jesus chose from the very beginning of his life, and it didn't get much better throughout his childhood, traveling to Egypt in poverty and exile. Didn't get much better in 7 years in Egypt. Didn't get much better in Nazareth. And he was obscure for 30 years. Did it get any much better in the last three public years when Jesus became famous and crowds surrounded him? Did it get much better there for him? No, it probably got much worse leading up to the Passion. Didn't get much better for Jesus. Remember, this is reality. This is what is really real. We don't have to go through all the horrible things that Jesus did and that he chose for himself, but we have to go through, you know, this is not a world of glitter and Hollywood and special effects and CGI movies. That's not reality. And yet we can easily deceive ourselves. Let's always keep coming back down to what is really real. The babe of Bethlehem, you know, if we come back to the gospel here, you know, you can look in the eyes, through the eyes of Joseph, who went through a lot of hardship. Joseph, probably the most fantastic, incredible carpenter you can imagine. He probably can made some really, really awesome furniture, probably. A little less than maybe Jesus did when he was a teenager and young man, but some really good carpentry work, and yet he probably, you know, worked for alms, and he had a hard time making a living for the Holy Family, even though he wanted to, he even had the talents to do it, was always so coming up short. God always let him come up short for his sanctification, you know, for his, but he did provide. He provided really hard. He did everything he could to his best of his ability, and he struggled throughout his life trying to provide for Jesus and Mary throughout his whole life. And a lot of hardship to fulfill his role, starting with his marriage with Mary, which he thought he had to divorce her because she had a child, and it wasn't his. And he never... We never should even think that he thought of anything against the virtue of Mary. He said, wow, she is holiness itself. There's no way I just, how does she have a child? I have no idea. And I'm not going to speculate. All I know, it's not my baby. It's not my child. And so what do I do? I can only divorce her quietly. I'm not going to expose her and humiliate her, and because I know this is a mystery, but it's just not my child. So what am I going to do? Am I going to live a lie? I'm just going to have to divorce her quietly and pray for her. And then there's a dream, and that, you know, how long was he in that agony? I have to leave Mary, the most precious treasure any man could ever want in a wife. I have to leave her. I have to give her up. and he was ready to do it. That's how valiant a man he was. And probably a few months of agony he had to go through, seeing Mary pregnant, and it's not his, I have to divorce her. And at the height of his agony, the dream comes, and we shouldn't normally trust in dreams. But this dream was convincing, totally convincing. So he would check with Mary, you know, this is the dream I had. Let's just get married. I know now that you are with child because of the Holy Spirit. And she certainly knew that, and she confirmed it, and he knew. And so he took her as his wife, and at least that agony was gone. But, you know, still many hardships Joseph went through. Joseph went through reality, this kind of reality of hardship. And that's what life is, hardship mixed with some good times. And the glitter and the CGI and the fantastic things we get in the next life. And so that's what we should, you know, really think about and know, that that's what real reality, and God is reality. He is reality, not, you know, we are less reality than he is. And so let's grab onto him and seek him and live for him, and then we will be with him, and then we will be really alive and real with God. So we look at the baby Bethlehem and know that I am really rooted in true reality, and God will bless me and not make me be deceived, and let me live a true, real, holy life full of charity, because it will spring from the grace that he gives us, especially at Bethlehem.